Well, amen. How many people got so blessed with meeting Nathan for the first time and receiving that amazing word? Come on down, Nathan. We just receive you in Australia. We receive you in Brisbane. And we receive you into our hearts. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be welcomed into your nation. There's going to be a lot more interchange between these two nations. God has got something so awesome planned for Australia and New Zealand. It is going to get the attention of the world. It's the afternoon session and we're all a bit sleepy, so how would you like to see another video? Would that be all right? Can the sound man tee up The Laughing God? Can you find that one for me, The Laughing God? Some people forget that God laughs. You know, can I just tell you something? When God just sits, four living creatures fly around the throne and they go, "Holy!" And all he's doing is sitting. Now, I have a question for you. If God just sits and the living creatures go, "Holy!" What happens when God laughs? Because when you laugh, you see into a person. That's why when you laugh, you put your hand over your face because you feel exposed. Because you can't laugh with a closed spirit. So how does God open you up? Gives you a dose of joy. So he's the laughing God. I think the angels do somersaults when God laughs. Get your popcorn. The laughing God. Laughter is an overflow of joy. God's joy is indescribable and full of glory. His joy is superior in every way. This is an elder in a Baptist church. It's the pastor on the left, the lady. God laughs because he sits enthroned above every care and worry. A little bit later. We are seated with him. These two guys love each other. That's my translator on the left. We are sons and daughters of the laughing God. Laughter is part of our birthright. Laughter is an expression of acceptance and trust among family members that love each other. That's the pastor there on the front. God gives you permission to laugh. So what I'd like you to do is stand up and find one other suitable person. Put your hand on them and say, "Fill with the Holy Ghost." No mousy prayers here today. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Fill, 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 fill. Find another person, fill with the Holy Ghost. Ha 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 If they're still standing, prophesy them down to the floor. If that doesn't work, just trip them up. Say God told you to do it. Well, Wigglesworth can punch people. You must be able to trip people. Good luck. The problem is we forget to take our medicine. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Take it 3 times daily with food. You know when your tummy muscle starts hurting? That's a sign you don't laugh enough because you don't use those muscles. You know when God laughs, he doesn't just go, because God does everything with all of his heart. He goes, ah! Because he's wholehearted, right? He says, I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And that's because he's wholehearted. So God doesn't just go, You know, some people think he's like British, like he sits on the throne drinking Earl Grey tea and eating cucumber sandwiches. And, oh, Michael, would you please get me an Earl Grey? And he sits there like having a little drink of tea. But I have news for you. He's not English. He's not even Australian. He's not even a Kiwi. He's totally something else. So you think God's just going to start... For all of eternity, he's just going to sit. He just sits on his throne and we go, holy. Is that what's going to happen for all of eternity? You wonder how we're going to last for eternity? Well, if he just sits and we go, holy, what happens when he stands up? What happens when he dances? Because he's the dancing God. He created movement. He created sound. What happens when God laughs? When God laughs, you laugh, you know? There's no choice. If you're in heaven and he laughs, you laugh. You know, if you were in front of the queen and she laughed, you'd laugh, wouldn't you? Just to be polite, you'd laugh because it was the queen. When God laughs, you will laugh. The good thing is we get heavenly facelift while we do it. It's biblical, you know, the help of our countenance. Some of you look 10 years younger. Some of you will look 10 years younger if you drink the new wine. You know, I went through a I went through a really difficult season. There were 3 demons harassing me. And one of them was the spirit of old. I'm telling you the truth. I go, spirit of old? Never heard of that before, God. I started rebuking the spirit of old. Moses was 120. His eyes were not dim. He renews our youth like the eagles. Cost a lot of money for all those beauty products. I can do it for you a lot cheaper. But the new wine's not cheap. He paid for it with his blood, so don't treat it lightly. See, a lot of people treat laughter like it's just like that poor cousin. Like, we want the fire! We want the impartation! But, oh, that laughter, that's just like that. Every family has at least one person you don't like to talk about. You know that cousin, that weird one you like to put in the closet? So that's what we do with the laughter, because, you know, it looks foolish, it looks stupid. We just want to put that one in the closet. But do you know something? The kingdom of heaven rides in on joy. The kingdom of heaven rides in on joy. God's really serious about his joy. He doesn't care what you think. He's going to remain joyful. If I was you, I'd just give in, you know. I mean, we're already late and you're not going to be able to get home because of the traffic anyway. If you get offended and want to walk out, then there's no point because the traffic's going to stop you going anywhere. So we planned it deliberately, you know, because God has an appointment with you. He wants to come and shake you so hard till you're laughing so hard you'll never stop. You know, I've got more deliverance through joy than any one thing. I remember back in the days when deliverance, you know, man, it was cool. You know, we'd be manifesting all these demons. Every time I'd have bloodshot eyes, bloodshot neck. You know, because them little suckers, they hang around on you. The last point of exit is here, you know. So they hang right there and you go, bleh. And you get all this day after deliverance, you're all bloodshot and you look in the mirror and they hang. Been to that meeting. And then I discovered that if I get drunk in the Holy Ghost, I drown the little suckers and they just pop out. So rather than, come out, I just go, cough, and they're gone. I love it. I can't tell you how, I must have been a serious case. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. I've been laughing, and I can always tell when they leave. Sometimes you're just coughing, right? They like to just play a wee game, like, oh, we'll cough and make him think we're gone, you know, and then we'll hide. Anyhow, I feel them leave. I love it. Praise God. It's much easier than the bloodshot method, you know, and having to donate your voice to cast a demon out for 2 hours. Why tell the stubborn thing to get out for 2 hours when you just drown it in the joy and it can't stand being there any longer? And it just goes. Not that you guys are demonized, I know, you know, it comes the whole, you know, Maori warrior thing, you know, we've got all those demons sitting back there in New Zealand and you probably don't have them here, right? Actually, I'm not worried about the Maori demons. I think my Scottish ones are probably worse. And the English ones. I totally don't know where I'm going here. That was so awesome, Gary. I mean, wow. It's just like pearls of wisdom drop off his mouth. Every few sentences, you're like, yep, that one needs written down and inscribed, you know. At least you get something from him. I just get up and laugh. Rory throws out the chicken food. Failing prophesies, and I just get up and walk backwards and forwards. Did you know that I was the unknown? I met Faylene this morning. She had no idea. It was a risk, you know. All the other speakers are known, but I found out at lunch I was the unknown. Will you invite me back in, please? Anyhow, I love you guys. It's easy to love. I feel really good at the moment. Whoever you put in front of me, I'd probably love them right at the moment. But that's how we're supposed to live. We want to live drunk, right? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when you begin to overflow with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's when you begin to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yeah. That's the fruit of getting drunk. Stop looking at me, please. Some of you are looking at me like you're like on the edge of the bank of that river of life. You're just kind of looking at me like, you know, would you get on with it? Well, I have news for you. The banks of that river are very slippery. And you never know when an angel is going to come along and push you in. And I'll tell you how you know you've fallen in. You've fallen in when you can't get out again. That means you've fallen in. The problem is we've been trained to have a communion cup size of new wine. So we go with our little communion cup. We go, oh, hallelujah, God touched me. You don't get drunk on a communion cup size. Can you imagine Peter, James, and John with a little communion cup? That fisherman. It was a meal, you know. It was face to face around the table. It was a meal. But over time, religion caused things to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So what started as a meal becomes a little communion cup. And you know what started as a shout got smaller and smaller and smaller over history until it became a whisper, and now we're frightened to make a sound. They made a lot of noise on the day of Pentecost. God wasn't worried about the embarrassment it was causing him. You know, God had all of eternity past to think about how he was going to start the church. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all of eternity past, they're talking about the prize jewel of all of creation and all of history. It's going to be the church. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to form this beautiful bride. She's going to be so dazzling. And the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are talking backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And they're getting so excited about that. And then one day in the infinity of eternity, in the forever of eternity, they say, well, how are we going to start this thing called the church? So they talk about this backwards because they relate, you know. They talk backwards and forwards and they're having a great time. And one day, Holy Spirit says, you know, Father, I got the perfect plan. How about I go down there and make 120 people crazy drunk? And the Father goes, yes, that's it. That's how we will start the church. We'll go, I'll let you go down there, get 120 people crazy drunk. So he put a lot of thought into that, you know. And the way he started it is the way he wants it to continue. He wants us to become professional drinkers. Some of you have been drinking too much on religion. Or as Rodney Howard Brown says, religion. Smoking, you've been snorting religion. Instead of taking the real stuff, which is the new wine of the Holy Ghost. There's plenty available. It only stops when we stop drinking, right? I want you to know it's not a new wine. It's actually a very, very ancient wine. It's been brewing in eternity for all of eternity past. It was God's dream coming alive. And so this new wine is actually a very ancient wine. Actually, the translation is wrong in the book of Acts. It doesn't say new wine. You know what it says? Greek word glaukos means sweet wine. You know what the sweet wine was? When they put the grapes in the vat, there's a little channel. You know, they stomp their feet on the grapes and the grape juice goes down and there's a little channel and they catch it down below. Well, the sweet wine was the sweetest wine before they even trample the grapes, because, you know, because the grapes are sun-kissed, they burst, and under the weight of the grapes on top of them, this sweet wine goes down the first. So it was the most intoxicating wine. Sweet wine is the most intoxicating wine, and it's a very ancient wine. And you know, if I took you to a restaurant and bought you a bottle of wine, you'd just casually drink it. But if I told you that bottle of wine cost me $1,000 because it's really old and it's been maturing for a long time, you wouldn't just sit there and casually drink the glass of wine that I had given you. You would think, well, that was $5. You would savor. You would savor every moment of it. But the problem is we devalue the new wine. This is a very ancient wine, and God put it on the menu. He paid for it with his blood, and it's because it does something deep on the inside of you that nothing else can do. So that's why I say, don't forget to take your medicine 3 times daily with food. Am I doing all right? Has the clock stopped yet? I feel someone's going to get offended now and leave. Oh, you. Oh, you lasted well. Very good. I'm surprised you lasted as long as you did. I'm just deciding whether to get on with the program yet or not. The last 5 minutes. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We thank you, God, that you got so much more for us. You know why they shook cities and nations? You know why they did? Because they didn't despise the new wine. You say, well, I want to shake cities and nations. Well, you know how they did it? They got crazy drunk in the Holy Ghost. And here's the thing. Wind and fire will shake cities and nations. You know the day of Pentecost, wind and fire? Wind and fire will shake cities and nations, but wine will soften your heart. And so if you don't take the wine, you don't get to go with the wind and the fire. So if you want the wind and the fire and you want to shake cities and nations, you need to drink. It's really simple. Drinking is not hard. A 2-year-old knows how to do it. You put a cup to your mouth, you tip the glass backwards, and at the same time you swallow. Why is it we find that so hard? It's not hard to drink, right? Actually, it's so simple we find it hard. And so that's why he says, I want you to become like a little child. Because we forget to do the simple things, and that's when we start to veer off onto the road of religion, because we forget to do the really simple things because we're trying to make it so complicated, because we want to please God. We're good Christians. I want to please you, God. Have a drink. Sometimes we just make it so hard, and he wants to make it so simple. He's the childlike God. He loves to party. He loves to turn up unannounced. God, we love you. You're totally ruining my session, God. I had this profound prophetic stuff to say, you know? Hallelujah. Whew. Well, I'll give you as much as I can in 5 minutes. Is that right? Yeah, go for it. Okay, cool. But I have to go back up there. There's going to have to be a wall of separation between me and you. Some of you are saying, what's the message? This is the message. The message is God loves you and he's happy about that. The message is he wants to hang with you. He's papa. He wants to play. You know, there's pray time and there's play time. Prayer meetings would be a whole lot better if we realized there's playtime and there's pray time. Amen. They say that the family that prays together stays together. I don't know if I agree. I've seen some families that pray together and they totally flew apart. But I say this, the family that laughs together stays together, because when you laugh, it opens your spirit. You can't laugh with a closed spirit, right? And so you've all done this, right? I'm not married, but somehow I know this. You've all had these situations, husbands and wives, where you are mad with each other. I mean, you are offended. And you're not talking to them. Mm-mm. No way. You're not talking to each other. Stony silence in your household. I know this has happened to every married couple at least once. Must have got this by revelation. And it's so bad you could cut the ear with a knife, and then finally one of you can't stand it any longer. Have you ever been there? It's so bad you can't stand it, and you just start laughing because it's so crazy. You just, what else can you do it? I mean, you're arguing over the most stupid thing. And so suddenly one of you sees the funny side and starts to laugh. And the other partner is like, I am not laughing. And how dare you laugh? I'm offended with you. This is not a funny issue. Don't you understand? Why are you laughing? And the harder they try not to laugh, the harder it gets for them to not laugh. And next thing, the two of you are laughing. I mean, like 5 minutes before, you were total enemies. You got to know somebody to be a real enemy, right? So you were enemies. True blue enemies, and then you both start laughing, and next thing, you're the best friends again. Because why? Because your spirit opened. Laughter opens your spirit, and God's so open-hearted, he's bleeping scary. He's really scary. You say you want freedom. God's so free, you just about be, I don't know, freaking out, because, wow, he's so free. I mean, you know, you think running around screaming at the top of your lungs and doing the haka or something is kind of radical. God is a free in a dimension that you don't even know yet. There's no darkness in him at all. He's light. He's totally free. So, loosen up. Okay, right. What am I going to do, Faylene? I need to redeem myself. More Holy Spirit. Drunk pastor. Okay, so I got this prophetic word for Australia in 2015. So let me read it to you. Australia. God loves you. Amen. He loves you a lot. He loves you a whole lot. Mwah! That's God. He's into kisses. You know, four times in the New Testament it says greet one another with a holy kiss. Not once, four times. That's with all this kissing. My goodness. God's a little bit free. Okay, I can do this. I can do this.